me and giving thanks to the Lord for Abby and the time that she served us here. Lord, we thank you. Thanks to the Lord. And you can be praying that everything goes good with the JAG thing so that we might get her back in 15 months or so. So that's what we're praying. But she'll be back in Seattle for the final year of law school. Also, before I get in, I wanted to give a minor correction for the announcement. Susie just informed me that rather than meeting here at 7 o'clock on that Wednesday before, we're going to meet at 6:30 so that we can get out there into the community by 7 o'clock. So that Wednesday, August 13th, please meet at 6:30 here at the church for the promotionals for the Back to School Bash. I'm really looking forward to that time together. Well, we are in our road trip series, and in our spiritual road trip here on earth, often the process towards the final destination is very significant because it involves interpersonal relationships along the way. And sometimes those interpersonal relationships can be like a roller coaster. Speaking of roller coasters, when I was a lot younger, I used to love roller coasters. I liked the ride. I liked the thrill. I liked going over the hump and feeling your stomach come up to your throat, raising your hands. I loved roller coasters. But about 20 years ago, I started noticing that I wasn't liking the roller coaster thing as much. And it was kind of funny, but one of my traveling companions for theme parks, my daughter, oldest daughter, she was a real roller coaster fan too. And so when we lived in Florida and we would have like a daddy-daughter date, we would go to the theme park and we would just run and do the roller coasters together and things. Well, she was up here last weekend picking up the grandkids, and after spending a time weekend with her husband doing some stuff at the theme park, he goes, "You know, Papa, I don't like those roller coasters as much anymore." And so it's interesting how in seasons of life, the things that you do with traveling companions that you enjoy together might change even as we change. And so it's an interesting thing. As we travel, lots of times we like to travel with like-minded people. And when we're traveling with like-minded people, we can really enjoy the ride. But also we need to travel with complementary people, because as you're traveling with like-minded people, you have things in common. But it's good to have travel with complementary people who can bring balance to the trip. Because if you have all the people who are spontaneous and no navigators, you're going to have a lot of fun until you realize you don't know where you are and you don't know how to get out of the situation that you are in. That works as well with hikers. You know, lots of times you can have a person who is spontaneous, they like to have fun, but they might be ill-prepared. And if you go on a hike and you're ill-prepared, it could result in serious injury or even death. I heard about a couple that was hiking in the Phoenix, Arizona area about 4 or 5 months ago, and all of a sudden they got lost, and they found their bodies later. It was tragic that takes place, and I found out about that because my daughter was hiking in that same area but didn't get off the beaten trails. You see, the thing is that God wants us to enjoy not only our salvation, the final destination, but he also wants us to enjoy that salvation and enjoy our Christian walk along the way. So today we're going to be picking up with installation number 5 of our road trip series entitled Enjoying the Ride. And rather than a lot of the times where I'm camping in certain passages, I'm going to be jumping around a little bit and looking at several scriptures today. Like I said, it's a topical summer series, so I gave myself permission to do that. But it's going to be moving a little bit more even than normally for me. But before we jump into the Word today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you have given us purpose, you have set our destination, and you have given us guidance along the way. And you've given us people to walk with us in that journey. In a similar way to we read in Pilgrim's Progress with Christian and how he was looking to have somebody in his journey with him. We thank you that you have not left us alone, and sometimes that can be challenging. So we pray today, Lord, that your word and your spirit would show us the areas where we can grow so that we can enjoy the ride through the ups and downs and the challenges of the spiritual journey and this road trip that we're on, coming home to you. We give you thanks for your faithfulness in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the main idea that I want you to take away from today's message is that our attitude and interactions along the way should reflect our desired destination. Now, that's a much longer main idea than normal, but I'm looking at two things. Our attitudes and our interactions along the way should reflect the desired destination. So if we're going to a good destination, then our attitudes and interactions towards that positive destination should be reflecting the positive goal of that destination. And so often we act like our destination is something other than positive. And so from that standpoint, our attitudes and interactions are reflecting that direction, but it's not the right direction. And so that's why we need to have consistency so that we can enjoy the ride. Well, you might be saying, well, how can we do this? Well, while pursuing our God-given purpose towards the final destination, it's important to recognize and to avoid the things that hinder us from enjoying the ride along the way. And a couple of those things can be bickering and bitterness. I looked at several Psalms to give some insight into these things that can hinder us, because the Psalms, if anything, are very, very real. We see very real and emotional interactions. And I think that's why the Psalms are so good for me, because I'm a real heady type of guy. I love the doctrine. I love truth, because truth transforms. And all of God's Word is truth. But in the Psalms, you see a lot of the emotion and interactions along the way. So it brings a good balance to the interpersonal aspect with the focus on truth. And in Psalm 55, 12 through 14, the psalmist says, "For it is not the enemy who taunts me. Then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me. Then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together in God's house. We walked in the throng." The psalmist is lamenting over the tension with a traveling companion that really was taken away from enjoying the spiritual journey. Later on that same psalm, verses 20 and 21, he says, "My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords." We see here what's taking place is that in the spiritual journey, among those who were in the companions, at one point there was sweet fellowship and they were enjoying the ride together, but something happened. And now a close companion is a source of a pain in the psalmist's life. And so there are things that can take place that can hinder us from enjoying the ride. And sometimes that can be the interpersonal conflict that arise from bickering and bitterness. We see that throughout even the churches in the New Testament. So nobody is exempt. But the thing is we don't want to just recognize the description of what's taking place and saying, oh, we're just going to have to settle with being miserable. No, there are things that we can do. As we recognize it, we can address that. I think of 1 Corinthians as Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, a church that where people were coming to faith in Christ in a pagan, decadent culture and society. And the church had a lot of problems. I mean, he's addressing serious moral issues in the church, that they were dealing with sin issues. But there was also a lot of bickering that was taking place. They were fighting amongst themselves, having party and division over insignificant things. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, he says, "But brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way?" That word "of the flesh" is often translated as worldly in some of your Bibles, and in the old school it referred to carnal. Are you not carnal? Are you not worldly? Are you not of the flesh? And so when there's this bickering and there's this strife and there's this jealousy, it often flows from a carnal mindset. Not having the spiritual mindset, because Paul said, "I couldn't address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as carnal people, because there was jealousy and strife among you." See, that bickering that's taking place, you might be describing it as a choice to fight about preferences and opinions. When you're bickering, you're fighting about things that don't have a major significance, which is different from contending. Because when we're contending for the faith, we're disputing over essentials. We should contend for the truth of the gospel. We should contend for the reality of Christ, his sinless life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. No compromise there. We should contend for the faith. So that's not bickering when we're dealing with a core, non-negotiable, unambiguous declaration from the Lord. But on other things about preferences and opinions, so often those are the types of things that we can bicker about in the traveling process. We can have that carnal behavior towards others, but that can be either in us or towards us. Let me tell you a little secret, if you don't already know it. I have great potential to be carnal and operate according to the flesh, contrary to the word of God. I hope that you're not scandalized. I don't think anybody who knows me is not. But every person has the potential to operate in the carnality, in the flesh, and not according to the Spirit. So as we see that in somebody else, it doesn't make it okay. But we have to make sure that we are examining our own hearts and we're looking in the mirror first, because we might be as culpable or more culpable than the person that we might be correctly recognizing carnality. And so what happens is when carnality gets in, when that fleshliness, when that worldliness gets in, it causes bickering, striving, struggling, and disputing over the non-negotiables. And it makes that ride that we're on towards glory kind of miserable at times. Let's be real. Has anybody ever been in a church that hasn't been miserable? Well, everybody in this place should be raising their hand right now, because we know that there's no perfect church, and we've all had difficulties and challenges all the time. So let's just call it what it is. It's there. But the thing is we don't have to be satisfied with saying, oh, well, there's no hope. It's like, no. And guess what? That's not unique to this church. It's every church that has ever existed on this planet. So I'm not throwing stones at glass houses. We're just recognizing the reality and the challenge to enjoying the ride. But we don't have to settle for misery. We can do that in that carnality, but also the sad thing is while we do it with ourselves, and each one of us has either been on the receiving end or the giving end, or I dare say both, all of us have been on both the giving and the receiving end of that carnal and fleshly behavior, because I understand the human nature, sinful nature, and so I can safely say that I'm not the only one guilty of acting in carnality here. I think everybody else, if they're honest, if not, you're a liar, and I'll call you out as a liar as well. But that's okay. We got a lot of good company. But the problem is while we might be able to kind of justify ourselves towards others, which really is not justification, we'll grumble towards God. We'll complain about God. I think of the Exodus, and the book of Exodus is how people were grumbling about God because they didn't have water and he gave them water. They didn't have food, he gave them meat. And they were grumbling and disputing all of the time. And then in Numbers, again, it pops up and he says, how long is this wicked congregation going to grumble against me? I've heard the grumblings of the people of Israel. They grumble against me. And so they're grumbling against the leaders. They're grumbling against God. They're grumbling about things all the time. And they've just been freed from slavery. And that's their attitude of grumbling. That's why Paul not only addressed this issue of bickering and bitterness towards the church in Corinth, he addressed it to the church in Philippi as well. He said in Philippians 2, 14 through 15, he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, when we live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh, we become lights. When we operate without this grumbling, disputing, and complaining, then we become lights to the world outside, and we become examples to fellow believers inside. What type of believer are we going to be to a young believer in the congregation, or an old believer in the congregation, or a believer, new believer, old believer, non-believer, whatever the situation, what kind of example are we going to be with regards to our attitudes about the things of God? Jesus was talking about that as well. He said with his disciples, he gave them a hard teaching once. And he goes, he saw that to himself that his disciples were grumbling, and he said, do you take offense at this hard teaching? So sometimes there are difficult things, but the solution is not to grumble and complain, but to seek the Lord and to seek his face. And that's why in Ephesians, Paul writes to the church and says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, so that there's a root of bitterness doesn't get ingrained into our lives. So as we look at the spiritual journey, if we want to enjoy the ride, we need to recognize, we need to and avoid the things that would hinder us. And two of those big ones are bickering and bitterness. Because that bitterness has consequences. While bickering is a choice to fight over preferences and opinions, bitterness is the consequence of continual choice to rehearse hurt produced by bickering. So you see how they're related there? And that bitterness can be towards people, whether they're simply irritating people, whether a person has legitimate hurt feelings, or whether there is a person in sin. Bitterness can be directed towards people. But also there can be bitterness over circumstances. Whether those circumstances that are hard for us are self-inflicted, whether they're caused by another person or an organization, or whether they were initiated or allowed by God. And so not only can we be bickering with one another and complaining to God, we can be bitter towards others, and we can be bitter towards God because he allowed things or caused things to operate in a certain way, and we don't like it. And so those are the things that we need to be aware of because they can hinder us from enjoying the trip, enjoying the ride on this great destination to heaven, with Jesus and with other believers as well. Anybody have kids and never been in a car ride and the kids say, are we there yet? Oh, buddy, that can be so challenging. And that can make the ride miserable. Bickering kids in the back seat can make a long journey twice as long. Bitterness can make our spiritual journey miserable. I had a friend this week who described bitterness like biting on aluminum foil. That's a good word picture, right? Biting on aluminum foil. It won't kill you, but it's not pleasant. And, you know, that whole aspect of the destination impacts how you look. Think of people that are on a bus going to prison. They have pretty bad experiences. They have pretty bad reactions and interactions because they're going to a pretty miserable place. Sometimes we act like we're on a bus headed to prison, when in reality, we should be treating it like we're on a van heading to a beach resort or a theme park. It's something that we're excited about. It's something that we're wanting to do. So rather than treating the trip like the destination is prison, let's treat the trip like the destination is a resort or a theme park. I'd like to ask, what is currently hindering you from enjoying the road trip with Jesus and with fellow believers? Because there is something in each one of our lives that is trying to hinder us from enjoying the ride. The question is for each one of us is to identify what is hindering us from enjoying the ride. Well, while pursuing God's given purpose and toward the final destination, it's important to pursue and embrace the things that aid us. So while we want to recognize and avoid the things that hinder us, we want to pursue and embrace the things that aid us in enjoying the ride. And that might be described as listening and laughing. In James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, James writes and he says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, I included this passage because it plays nicely off of the previous ones talking about bickering and bitterness. And he says, so part of the solution is the things that aid us is to be slow to speak, quick to hear, quick to listen. So when he says quick to hear, he's talking about listening with an intent towards understanding. When we listen towards understanding and are slower to speak, then that can protect us. That can be the brakes that can protect us from going that route of bitterness and bickering. When we are listening, We want to be listening with understanding related to the person, because we're not on this journey alone. We have traveling companions. It could be a spouse, it could be a family, it could be a close friend, fellow church members. We're on this journey together, and so we want to be listening. Because as we listen to others, whether they're close friends or acquaintances, it helps to connect in a way that fosters an environment of grace. When we really listen well, it can foster those environments of grace. And this can help reduce either the intentional or unintentional unkindness with which we can often treat people. Sometimes we might be treating people with unkindness and we're not even aware of it. Sometimes we're treating people unkindly intentionally, and that's sin. But if we listen carefully, it helps us to connect on a level where we will be less likely to go that route to have a detrimental impact in the lives of others, which is also detrimental in our lives. But we also need to understand, as we're listening to a person and we're listening carefully and we're making a connection, we need to understand that that's not a compromise, because gracious treatment towards a person does not imply agreement with a person or with their opinions. So we are to treat people with graciousness and listening, even if we disagree, vehemently disagree, but we're showing respect and connecting with them on a human level. And that can help us to enjoy the ride. When we treat other voyagers as fellow human beings, rather than treating them as inhuman or as enemies. But there's not only listening to the person, there's also the listening related to the content. And that's to have critical thinking. Who is saying it, but what's being said? And when we listen with critical thinking, it can help us to grow. Either by correcting bad beliefs that we currently had, incorrect thinking that we currently have, or it can help us to grow by confirming the good beliefs that we embrace. But when we listen to a person and we listen to the content with critical thinking, when we listen to the person, we can connect. When we listen to the content, we have the critical thinking that helps us to grow, either to correct a mistake or to reaffirm a truth. And that is good, because when we're connecting and we are rooted in the truth, that makes the ride much more enjoyable. Treating somebody not as the enemy makes the ride much more enjoyable. Think of the proverb that leads in from the listening to the laughing. Is Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." A joyful heart is so good. And that's why I talk about things that aid us enjoy the ride is not just listening for connecting and growing and understanding and embracing the truth, but laughing. It is okay to laugh. While it's important to take our lives and our spiritual journeys seriously, it is okay to celebrate the good. We need to be a people who are joyful. We're commanded to rejoice. But what laughing does, laughing protects us from ourselves. When we laugh, and we laugh at ourselves, it protects us from the idolatry of perfectionism. And when we are holding ourselves to an idolatrous standard of perfectionism, it undermines our ability to enjoy the ride. But when we can laugh at ourselves and say, I don't have to be perfect, because Jesus is. God knows that I'm not perfect, and it's okay. And so when I embrace the reality of my fallenness, failures, and everything else, then I can begin to enjoy the ride, because I'm understanding that apart from grace, I'm a mess. And grace helps me to enjoy the ride. And laughing, I think, is a tangible expression of a deep understanding of grace. But laughing not only protects us from ourselves, laughing protects us from the predations of others. Because others sometimes don't like to see a person enjoying the ride, and so they want to make you miserable along the way. And so sometimes, whether it's an outsider or just a miserable person on the inside, they want to sow seeds of misery and manipulation to cause a person to self-sabotage. And when you laugh, not only are you protecting yourself from yourself, you're protecting yourself from the predations of others who want you to be as miserable as they are. So let us be people who can laugh at ourselves and laugh at our circumstances and not be offended, so that when others are trying to emotionally manipulate us, we can laugh and saying, it's okay, because God is bigger than my problems, he's bigger than the circumstances, he's bigger than me, and he's bigger than you. And that really helps us to enjoy the ride when we have that ability to laugh. You know, laughing is contagious. Have you ever seen those videos of a baby laughing? Okay? How many people did not laugh when they saw that baby video where the baby's starting to laugh? Raise your hand, because I want to say you need help. If a baby laughing, some of those babies laughing, belly laughing, doesn't cause you to laugh, you might need some professional help, and I'm really not joking on that one, because laughter is contagious, and there's something about that child laughing which can really be good for our hearts and for our souls. It releases those endorphins. It's a healthy, healthy thing. I'd like to ask, what is your current greatest need that you believe would assist you to enjoy the spiritual journey? We all have needs. Identify that and start to pursue those things which will aid us. Well, this leads us to the third thing that we need to learn from today's lesson. While pursuing God's given purpose to the final destination, it's important to review and apply the things that we learned. So we've looked at the things that hinder us to enjoying the ride, the things that aid us in enjoying the ride, now the things we learn while enjoying the ride. And those two things, which I think are very significant, are insight and perspective. Proverbs gives us some insight and perspective because it's Proverbs. It's the book of wisdom. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. When we're traveling together, when we're enjoying the journey, when we're in interpersonal relationships, and we're laughing, and we're understanding truth, and we're being transformed by the truth, and we're learning from one another, we have those complementary gifts that come together. There's a sharpening that takes place, and we can learn from one another. I learn from all of y'all all the time because I am not a complete person in and of myself. And the church has different gifts and abilities to bring us together and to help us to be complete. And so there's that positive aspect of those relationships, learning and having insight. But also, Proverbs gives us a warning. He says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, which is good, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So it's important who we walk with in this journey. Are we walking with someone who has a like mind and a same worldview? That's why Paul writes to the church in Corinth, that messed up church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And so he's striving to follow Christ. He's being an imitator of Christ, and he wants the church to imitate Christ, but they can't see Christ living out his life. So he says, imitate me as I'm imitating Christ. We need to be people who are so in pursuit of Christ, so imitating Christ that others can look at us as examples of how to live, demonstrated by our patience, our love, our faithfulness, our generosity. Insight is gaining information and knowledge about things that we can learn from others and about things we can learn about ourselves. But there's also the perspective. Because perspective takes it from the information to understanding, which leads to wisdom. And there are things that we can learn from other people. There are things that we can learn from circumstances. There are things that we can learn about ourselves. And there are things that we can learn about God. And so when we have this attitude of in the journey with others, we're being taught, we need to rehearse and learn these things, because as we do that, that will help us to enjoy the ride. Now, sparks are not necessarily an indication that all things are bad. Now, marriage is often filled with sparks. Sometimes relationships are filled with sparks. They can be good and they can be bad, but everything's not good or bad. But there are margins that we can need to establish sometimes to enjoy the ride. But we need to make sure that the margins are in the areas where God says and not what we think. Because God's word is authoritative, and it's important that we align our hearts with his heart, our experience with his word, which is true. So who are the traveling companions in your spiritual road trip that you can learn from? Because there's somebody that you can learn from. Make sure that they're a good companion and not leading you away from the truth that can transform your life. So we have to be selective about the people that we're on a journey with, that the people that are having the most impact in our lives. But I'd also like to say, who are the traveling companions on your road trip that you can be an example to, that others can imitate? Because we want to have an impact in others as well. You see, as we are on this spiritual road trip, we are faced with a choice of whether we enjoy the ride or not. Our attitude and our interactions along the way should reflect our desired destination, which is heaven. So let's turn away from the things which would undermine the joy of the ride and embrace the things that do and learn along the way. As we've opened up the Word of God, hopefully the Spirit of God has been highlighting things in your heart. So I'd like to ask, what's your next step going to be? Are you enjoying your spiritual journey? If not, why not? Might be, do you have the right destination? Do you have the right traveling companions who have the same worldview and a like mind, have the same Lord Jesus? Do you have the right attitude within you? Are you looking in the mirror? Is the problem with enjoying the journey because of an attitude problem with the person in the mirror? If faith in Jesus Christ is not your starting point, if you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ, then heaven is an unattainable destination for you. So part of the reason you might not be enjoying the ride is because you have the wrong destination and you don't even realize it because you don't have the right starting point, and the starting point is Jesus. So if you don't have Jesus, let Jesus be your starting point today so that you can have the correct destination and have the potential to enjoy the ride along the way. May the Lord give each one of us strength to apply His truth in our lives as the Spirit illuminates the areas where we need to take action, so that we might enjoy this wonderful journey on this road trip with Jesus to the final destination of heaven, bringing as many people with us as possible, joyfully along the way. Let us pray.